You matter. Your life has great value. You have a future because somebody died for you. And his name is Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Somebody Died For You podcast. My name is Corey Peters. This podcast contains true stories about my journey learning to hear God's voice, learning that he wants to partner with us to impact the world around us. It is about him getting me out of my chair and walking with him to bring his kingdom to hearts and situations. It is my prayer that you not only know that he died for you, but he wants to use you to bring his hope and life to a hurting world. Today's story is one of my all-time favorites. It's my encounter with a homeless man named Chad. This story is when I went to San Diego, California. I was excited to spend time with family, but also excited to impact some hearts with the hope and love of Jesus Christ. San Diego has a very large homeless population. I'm sure their mild climate is a contributing factor for sure, as well as the ocean. For many weeks prior, I'd been praying about how God would want me to impact some of the homeless population for him. My family and I filled bags with items such as socks, garbage bags, breakfast bars, personal hygiene items, gum, yoga mat to sleep on, and a lunch gift card. I was excited to hand out the ones we packed. After breakfast, I grabbed the bags and started walking, where I thought I'd have a great chance to hand them out. Just outside our hotel, you could take a left and walk about two blocks, and before you knew it, you could find many people struggling with homelessness. But before I left, I decided to try something. I stopped and asked God where he wanted me to go. It's quite the idea, huh? Surprisingly or not so surprisingly, I felt like he wanted me to go in the opposite direction. I started walking. It wasn't too long before the bags started getting heavy. I had four of them. A little inconvenience was a real small price for me to pay to love people who don't live in a home. I walked and walked. Every day I was there, I could walk two blocks and see someone who was homeless and here. And here I've walked over a mile and didn't see anyone. I mean, I saw people, but not the people I was hoping to see. The question started bombarding my mind. Did I hear him right? How long was God going to make me walk? I started out carrying the bags, and now I'm lugging them. I lugged those four bags about 2 miles without handing one bag out or seeing somebody struggling with homelessness. Many questions ran through my mind. Did I hear him right? Why wouldn't he send me to the place I wanted to go? Well, maybe I just should turn around. I'm a real jerk complaining about walking 2 miles holding four bags when people have been living on the streets for months and even years. So I stopped. I was going to pray again. Praise him again. I set the bags down and started praying. I heard that small voice on the inside of me asking me to lift up my hands. What? Me? Outside? Sure, in a church, but on a busy street, out in the open. Looking back on this story now, it is a real hallmark of God to ask you to do something out of the ordinary. That's why when you're just starting to learn about hearing his voice, it's helpful to A, have the Bible around so you can check the Bible. God's not going to ask you to do something that violates his word. And to have people around you that you can ask, hey, I think that God's leading me to do this. What do you think? And if you want examples in the Bible, you can see Noah and the ark. You can read about Jonah and the whale or the big fish. You can read about the disciples pouring water in a jar at a wedding when they ran out of wine. Or you can read about Jesus when he asked his disciples to bring a few loaves of bread and fish to feed thousands. Now he was asking me to publicly participate in a simple act of worship on a busy street in San Diego. Thankfully, I complied. I slowly lifted my hands. His tremendous peace suddenly washed over me. I felt relief. I felt I was back on track. I felt assured that I actually did hear his voice and that I was on the right track. That small voice came again. I will bring someone to you. I immediately dropped my hands. Maybe that was a cue, maybe it wasn't. That must have been the signal. I started looking around, and there was a lady sitting several feet to my right at a bus stop that I'm sure by now is pretty freaked out about a guy holding four large bags, raising his hands on the side of a busy street. And maybe she wasn't, but I felt she probably was. But no one else was coming. I looked all around. There were many people driving by in buses, cars, trucks, motorcycles, but nobody was walking near me on the sidewalk. Once again, doubt started creeping into my mind. I was wondering again, can you really even hear God? I look to the left and I see a man walking 3 blocks away. He's the only one remotely around my area that's walking. But he was walking my direction. He was nicely dressed and was carrying a nearly new backpack. He looked like a college student, but he was far from homeless. There was no way he was going to come to me. He's walking 3 blocks away on the wrong side of the street. But what if he did? He walked to the end of the block, crossed the street, still walking in my direction, but still 2 blocks away. He crossed the next street. It was now only 1 block away, but still on the other side of the street. God certainly wasn't going to bring this guy to me, I thought. What could he help me with anyway? Suddenly, he stopped at the crosswalk across the street. He waited for the light to turn green and then walked across the street towards me. To my utter amazement, he turned in my direction and started walking right towards me. I couldn't believe my eyes. Now the internal dialogue became, how am I going to talk to him? What if he approaches me? What if he doesn't? What if he just walks right by? What am I going to say? He'll think I'm weird for sure. Then maybe I should just go back to the hotel. As he came closer, I introduced myself and asked him if he could use prayer for anything. And he smiled and he said, thanks, but I went to church yesterday. I told him that I was carrying these bags to give people struggling with homelessness. I asked if he knew where I could find some people, and he pointed in the direction I was going. He said, about 5 blocks in that direction is an intersection. I believe it's Rosencrantz and Lanning Street. There are usually several people in that area panhandling on the side of the street and also walking up to cars. I said, thanks. He said, no problem. His warm smile not only dissolved my unbelief, but gave me strength to keep going. Why was it so hard to believe God was going to bring someone to me, even if he was 3 blocks away on the other side of the street? Why did I doubt him after not seeing a result right away? I believe it's all part of following him and learning to hear his voice. His way usually has some difficulties, but thankfully he's ready to help us when we ask. And when we don't, I'm thankful he doesn't kick me out at the shred of doubt. I smiled, waved at my new friend, and said goodbye, started walking. Several blocks later, arms hurting again, complaining again. Only 2 more blocks. I arrived at my intersection. My jaw hit the ground because there were so many people. Actually, there wasn't. Again, completely empty. Are you kidding me? I exclaimed out loud. I turned around and looked in all the directions. I must have been missing something. I thought about turning around, dumping all these bags in the nearest dumpster, but I'd walked nearly 3 miles. I kept walking, grumbling to myself and God. My attitude was officially terrible. I came to the next block. As I was crossing the street, I looked to my right and saw a golf course. Here we go, I said to myself. Now a wealthy neighborhood. There won't be any homeless people for miles. As I'm ready to give up, mad at God and myself for not just going where I thought there would be people. Looking to my right, I saw a very nice green fence along with a beautifully manicured golf course. Matched with the 70-degree weather and the blue sky and the sun out, I watched people enjoying the day. People were walking with their golf bags. People were driving in their beautiful golf carts, glistening in the sun. Between the sidewalk and the green fence, bordering the beautifully manicured fairway greens, sand traps, there was a large hedge. This hedge ran along the sidewalk for a whole block. It was impressive to look at. It was beautifully trimmed. This golf course was really beautiful, but definitely not the reason I came. Suddenly I noticed something. Halfway down the block, near the top of the hill, appeared to be something sticking out of the bushes. As I walked closer, it looked like shoes. As I took more steps, they appeared to be very worn, black, leather Velcro shoes. Why would somebody leave shoes in a bush? Then inside I got a pit in my stomach. I started to panic a little. What if I just stumbled upon a crime scene? All the people driving by to my left or people to my right enjoying their golf game collided with what I was seeing in front of me. What if I was walking up on a dead body? What if someone was just lying in the bushes, dead? I walked up slowly to the shoes, afraid of what I would find. It was a man laying on his side. He had a worn, stained, white sweatshirt with brown pants. His ankles were extremely swollen, and I noticed an orange hospital band wrapped around his wrist. His eyes were closed, and he had a black stocking cap on his head. I wasn't sure what to do. Softly, I said, "Hello?" No movement. I said, "I have a few bags with me. They have some supplies that you might find useful. I would like to give you one." He moved his head ever so slightly. He wasn't dead. He slowly opened his eyes, looked at me, studied me, and slowly nodded his head. He moved his hand from under a worn-out jacket that covered his waist and pointed over from him. There was a shopping cart buried in the bush. I didn't even notice it. I put one of the bags in the cart and came back to him. I knelt down and asked him his name. He said, "Chad." My heart was racing. I would have never seen this man, even if I was driving by in a car. He moved his head to the side to look at me. "Why are you doing this?" he asked. I said, "In short, Jesus really helped turn my life around, and I'm just trying to show his love in a practical way." Chad said that he tries to read his Bible a little. He moved a piece of his blanket that he was sleeping on over to the side to reveal a small Bible. I asked about him and his story. He talked about growing up in Arizona, and he said he had a very troubled childhood, and within those years, he became addicted to alcohol. We had an instant connection. We were talking and smiling at each other like we had known each other our whole lives. I started sharing about how reading my Bible and finding the truth about God for myself not only changed me, but also changed my perception of God. I told him stories about how Jesus loved lepers, how he was born among animals instead of a big castle like you'd think a king would be born in, and how Jesus or God included a prostitute in Jesus' bloodline. Jesus forever demonstrated that no one is outside of his love. Something was happening as we were sharing. When I was talking about these stories, it was like he was coming into the sun for the first time. It was just like God was warming both of us. He just rested his head on his hand, and he had the widest, peaceful smile that I'd ever seen as he listened. He said that he was 35 and his liver was failing. I asked if I could pray for him. He paused for a moment. He smiled and slowly nodded his head. I knelt down, placed my hand on his leg, and prayed. When I finished, he flashed a smile and said, "Thank you." I told him that God hasn't forgot about him and that he sent me all the way from Iowa to remind him how much he matters to God and that Chad is greatly loved. Chad just kept looking at me and smiling. As I left, he told me thanks again, and I told him that I loved him and that Jesus loves him. And he kept smiling and kept nodding. But I also noticed something. Other than his head just moving a little bit, he really didn't move too much. You know, he smiled and talked slowly, but he never really sat up. As I walked away from Chad, it was like God just really thumped my heart. Lost in my own thoughts, I walked down to the next corner carrying bags. There were homeless people everywhere. I stopped and talked to a few, gave them a few bags, prayed with them. I even had one guy share one of his favorite Bible stories with me and even taught me some of the meaning of it. It was great. I turned around and started walking back towards the golf course. I never got Chad really off my mind. As I crossed the street and started walking next to the golf course, I saw Chad halfway down the block. He was standing by the shopping cart and looking into the bags that I gave him. I couldn't believe my eyes. His back was facing me, and just the bones from his shoulders and his shoulder blades really stuck out of the sweatshirt. He was just absolutely skin and bones from the back. He was so thin. And then he turned to the side, and he was leaning at the waist very far back to balance out his body. His stomach was extremely large and swollen, jetted out far from his pants. Every step he took was extremely difficult. He used the side of the cart to keep him from falling as he stumbled back to his spot in the bushes. Tears started welling up in my eyes. Tears of sadness at his current situation, condition, and at his age, really close to me, but he had to be very close to death. I was sad that this man, whom I had an instant strong connection with, had to live out his final days in a bush. And shame because of my constant complaints for the 2+ miles leading up to Chad. Tears of joy because God didn't kick me away for complaining, but counted me worthy enough to love on him with Jesus in his name. Joy because I knew Chad would be healed very soon as Jesus welcomed him home. To this day, I think about Chad often. I think about how God was so gracious to me. I think about how God always has his eyes on the one. He had his eyes on Chad that day. And he had his eyes on me. I think about the dichotomy of the busy San Diego street with a beautifully manicured golf course, people flying by and talking, and the dying man in the bushes. I think about how thankful I am that God was and still is training me how to hear and follow his voice, which is what this podcast is all about, because I want that for you. Dear Papa, thank you for everyone that hears this story. Help them to know, as some might feel isolated during this corona pandemic, that you see them. Help them to know that you are with them. Give your children the desire to hear your voice, that you aren't something that we just pull out on Sunday to put you back again throughout the week. Help us to realize that you want to be our friend. You want to talk with us. You want to walk with us. You want us to share every aspect of our life with you. Help us to realize that you are the only true joy and that you are love. Bring us close to you. God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for living how you did, Jesus, and dying on the cross for us. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us, teaching us and helping everyone learn to listen and tune into your voice. Give us courage to step out and go on a journey with you to impact the lost and broken, even if that's us. In Jesus' name. Thank you for listening. Please go on our website. Please give us a thumbs up or a good review. Know that God loves you and that I love you and that we're standing with you. And don't forget, somebody died for you, and his name is Jesus Christ.